It's your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC for 20 great years has the best OTR on our live streaming. And continue tuning in to the Radio Book Channel, along with the RTC Music Channel, all at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Thanks for joining us on this, the Radio Theater Channel's weekly download, our podcast of old time radio. Well, we're going to join Vincent Price, starring as The Saint, from a 1950 episode called Death of the Saint. So that sounds interesting. We'll get started with that. And an episode of The Bing Crosby Show. So there's lots of fun today. I hope you can stay tuned for the whole thing. Now, The Saint.
Adventures of the Saint, starring Vincent Price. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris, known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime now comes transcribed to radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor Vincent Price as The Saint.
Oh, open up, please, hurry!
Well, to what do I owe this?
Oh, close the door. I've been followed.
Naturally, you're a blonde.
I assure you, the men who followed me weren't interested in the color of my hair.
Don't tell me they were chasing you for your money.
No, dear, not my money, my life. Well, it's good to be here, finally. I've come a long way to see you, Simon.
Oh, well, if I'd known you were coming.
You didn't expect me?
You're as unexpected as Yankee bean soup on a menu in Moscow, but infinitely more welcome.
You weren't contacted? You didn't speak to Maxime?
The only Maxime I know happens to be a restaurant in Paris.
Oh, they intercepted him. And we were so sure he wasn't even known to them. That his cover was... We'll have to proceed on our own, Simon. We can do it.
Of course we can do it. But what? What particular type of melodrama are we playing?
I'd better tell you the whole story, everything.
You have the Sultan's ear, Scheherazade. Or what is your name?
Claire.
Oh, sit down, Claire.
Thank you. I've just come back from Mexico City. He was there. He's changed in the last 5 years, Simon. You'd never recognize him. It must have been plastic surgery. He doesn't look...
I see. And now I know everything?
Did you hear something?
What sort of something?
Outside the door. I thought I heard a footstep. Simon, the blinds. Pull down the blinds. How stupid of me not to have done it immediately.
Yeah.
Why are you staring out the window? Is someone...
Is one of them a little man in a badly fitting suit? At least two sizes too large for him and a large floppy hat?
He's there?
Yeah, he's there.
And the other one, the large one?
And he's there, all of him.
Oh, come away from the window, Simon. You needn't bother pulling the other blind down now.
Who are they, Claire? Which wild Halloween are those two types left over from? How many more of them are there?
How many more? Hundreds, Simon, perhaps thousands. We'll never know exactly. We must go, Simon, at once.
Shouldn't we have a little explaining before we do any going?
There isn't time. Those two down there will be coming up soon, and when they do... You must trust me, Simon, you must.
Come on, Claire.
Is there anyone... Do you think we were followed, Simon? Is there anyone behind us?
Look, in Grand Central Station, there are always people behind you. Tell me, are we needing a train or taking one?
Train? What makes you think we're taking a train, Simon?
Well, I should have warned you. Every now and then, I get a little irrational. Like thinking the reason we're here in a railroad terminal has something to do with a train. Did I say something to frighten
you? Kiss me.
Huh?
Quick, hold me tight and kiss me as if you meant it.
As if I meant it? You mean there's another way? So that's why we came here. We must do this more often.
No, don't talk. I'm your sweetheart. I'm going away. Kiss me again.
Coax me.
Please, this is no time to joke. He's watching us. Kiss me.
Well, I'll force myself. Whew. Simon Tensler, you dog, you.
He's gone.
I must remember to do something very nice for him sometime. And now, sweetheart, what does...
And now, sweetheart, we really do say goodbye.
We what?
We say goodbye. Well, come now. Don't look so bewildered.
Oh, but sweetheart...
Goodbye, Simon. And thanks for the use of the hall.
You forgot to close the door, Mr. Templar.
What? Oh, yes, so I did, but since it's my door, I think I'll leave it open this time. Especially since you're just about ready to leave.
You are wrong, Saint. I am not ready to leave. I have a few things I must do before I go.
What sort of thing?
Perhaps I shall kill you first. In fact, I am quite sure that I shall. But that is the least of what I must do here in your apartment.
Look here, if you insist on killing me, I'm afraid that I'll have to insist that you regard it as important.
Oh, it is important only to you, and to the policeman who will have the tiresome task of finding out who did it. You will shut the door, please, Saint.
I will shut the door.
As for your new friend, Saint, the matter of your death will be to them merely a temporary inconvenience.
And for me, the matter of my death will be, I'm afraid, a rather permanent inconvenience. Well, so I'm to be killed by a Luger, I see. So glad it isn't one of the cheaper guns.
Oh, how splendidly you whistle as you pass the graveyard. It is too bad, too bad. You could have been so useful to us.
Us? You mean there are more at home like you?
There are more. Perhaps there are not as many as there should be, but we make up for our numerical deficiency by knowing that right is on our side.
It should be a great comfort to me as I lie in my coffin to know that I wasn't murdered by bad men, but by good men.
It is a great pity you did not think along those lines before, Templar.
Before what?
Before you decided to join them instead of us. It is almost midnight. I hope we shall not have to wait very much longer.
We are waiting for someone?
A messenger with a package for you.
A package? How nice. Aren't you just dying to know what's in it?
Hardly, since I am the one who sent it to you. When the boy arrives, Templar, you will go to the door and accept the package.
Oh, I will, huh?
Indeed you will, and I shall be right behind you. And so will this Luger. Needless to say, my friend, any attempt to seek help from the messenger will result in not only your execution, but the boy's as well.
You play dirty poker, don't you? Who are you?
Oh, it does not matter who I am.
Well, it does to me. I always like to know who I'm being murdered by.
Oh, I am called Maxime.
Maxime? So you're Maxime?
You have heard of me? Oh, but of course. She learned about me in Mexico City.
I despise people who are abnormally inquisitive, just as you must. But by she, I suppose you mean Claire?
Ah, that is what she calls herself now, eh? Claire. She's very beautiful, is she not? When I saw you kissing in the railroad station before, I almost envied you. Until I realized that you would soon be dead. What is it, Saint? No more whistling past the graveyard?
I was just thinking. So you were the one we put on the little performance for in the railroad station, eh?
Performance, eh?
And until you saw Claire and me together, you imagined for some reason or other that I was at bat for your team. I see.
Oh, please, Saint, do not waste the last moments of your life in resorting to childish ruses. I think prayer is much more fitting to the occasion.
Don't you see, Maxime? Claire's reason for getting me to the railroad station was to make you think that she and I were on the same side.
Yes, of course. And she was the one who knew that my train was due at that time, eh? Not you, she.
I was supposed to know when you were to arrive?
You received my letter, did you not? You must have. I received your answer. Oh, please, Saint, please stop clutching at straws. I am going to kill you. It is inevitable. You die as soon as I regain the package.
Oh, yes, the package.
It was fortunate that I had the good sense to send it ahead to you when the train stopped in Philadelphia, was it not? I should have been dead by now if I had not done so.
You know, Maxime, I find myself in a very unusual position.
Oh, I quite agree. It isn't every day that one gets killed.
I meant it's unusual because if I weren't going to die by means of that efficient-looking little Luger of yours, I think I'd probably drop dead from a case of acute curiosity. Just what?
The messenger?
My death knell, eh? Ask not for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. Who is it?
Messenger. Package for Templar.
Do not open the door all the way. Act natural. Perfectly natural. I will be right behind you. Remember, I shoot both you and the boy.
Come on. You're going to open up a ranger. I want to go home.
Coming, Henry.
It's about time, and my name ain't Henry. It's Morris.
Oh, mine's Simon. But in a few minutes, someone is going to change it to mine.
What's the matter? What'd you jump like that for? Something jab into your back?
Jab into my back? No. It's an old family affliction, spasms of the Calabasas. You must let me tell you about it. It always comes on.
Not me. You don't tell about it. Tell your doctor. I got to get home and get some sleep. I'm pitching tomorrow.
Pitching? Say, are you a pitcher?
I'll say I am. I'm the best pitcher we got. Maybe you heard of our team, the Brooklyn Beavers?
The Brooklyn Beavers? Of course I've heard of them.
Yeah? Where?
Where? Why? Well, everybody's heard of the Brooklyn Beavers, especially an old Yankee pitcher like me.
I'm warning you, Sam.
You pitch for the Yankees? Gee. Hey, look, maybe you can help me with
something. Get rid of him, Sink. Don't kill him.
Gee, another spasm of the Calahoozas, huh? Too bad the things that happened to former pitchers.
Yeah.
Hey, look, mister, can you show me how to develop a good wind-up?
Wind-up? You want me to show you how I used to wind up for a pitch?
Gee, would you?
Why, sure. Now, first you put this foot, the left one, out about 2 feet.
2 feet, huh?
Uh-huh. Next, clasp the ball in both hands and raise your arms up over your head toward the back. As far back as they'll go.
Like this?
That's right. You're getting it. Then using all the strength in your legs, all the strength, now you suddenly kick back.
Hey, what's that? Hey, what's that noise in there?
Noise?
It sounds like somebody got hurt and then fell down. What's this?
Mice.
Mice?
Yes, big ones.
You're nuts. And furthermore, you never pitched for no Yankees.
You don't think so?
I know so. I never seen such a lousy windup. Here's your package. And you can just forget about the tip, buddy.
Thanks.
The thing some people tell you. And for what? Only so they can impress you.
Come on, Maxine. Wake up. Come now. It's time to be alive again.
Huh?
Here now. Sip some of this. There. That's... Hey, wait a minute. That's Napoleon brandy. If you spill it, Napoleon and I will never forgive you.
That is enough.
You don't feel very well, do you, Max? Is that any kind of a look now to throw at a man who's just been feeding you Napoleon brandy?
Go on, Templar. You hold the gun now. Get it over with.
You mean shoot you? Oh, I wouldn't dream of shooting you, Max. Why, I'd be lonesome without you. Besides, I can't tell you how much I've been looking forward to an inch-by-inch travelogue based on your trip to Mexico.
No, you will get nothing from me, Sam. Go ahead, shoot. I will not be the first man to die for something he believed in.
Thank you, Nathan Hale.
Oh, I am in pain.
Oh, yes, I know, and you must try to forgive me. But after all, what's a little kick in the pit of the stomach between friends? Tomorrow, perhaps you'll be kicking me in the stomach.
Oh, what? Give me water.
I'll get you water, but I won't give you water. You'll have to buy it.
Buy it?
By answering a question. The thing I found in the package, what makes it so valuable?
Oh, no, I will not tell you. I cannot. Water, please.
Maybe you can buy yourself a glass of water with the answer to this one.
I shall not answer any question.
You have courage, my friend, but here's the question anyhow. There's a little man in a floppy hat and a suit that's too large for him, and another man roughly patterned after the Empire State Building. Do you know him?
Yes.
Your side?
Our side? No, Templar, not our side. Satan's.
Well, you have just won yourself a glass of water. Would you like to try for two?
I will not answer any more questions.
You're a stubborn little fellow, aren't you? I'll get you water. And then I will make sure that you will be here when I get back.
You're going out?
Oh, just down to the corner. I want to ask those two curious employees of Satan's just why they prefer to spend the night on the street staring up at my windows when beds are so much more comfortable. Excuse me.
Yeah. What is it, Chewie?
May I trouble you for a light?
Why, yes, certainly. My dear fellow, your cigarette is already lit.
It is? You mean I've been smoking all this time and didn't eat? How mild can a cigarette be?
You're gone now. No more talk.
That's amazing. This is the first time in all these years I've ever heard the Empire State Building speak. And just what are you doing so far from 34th Street? Ran out on your foundation,
You're gone now. Or I hurt.
Ali. Gentlemen, just trying to have fun, Ali.
Ali? Ali? Didn't I read something recently about you and Rita Hayworth?
You're gone now.
You must forgive my friend, sir. He's very sensitive.
Oh, and very inhospitable. Now, if you were visiting me in my home, or haven't you acquired squatter's rights to this stretch of sidewalk yet,
I do not understand.
Then I will be blunt. Exactly what about my windows is so fascinating to you and this Near Eastern gargantua that you make a career out of observing them?
I'm afraid you are mistaken, sir. My friend and I arrived at this particular place only a moment ago. We were standing here ready to breathe fresh air Not to watch anyone's windows.
I make him to go now, Victor. He's good.
It's quite all right, Ollie. Gentleman is just making talk.
That's right, Ollie. I'm just making talk. As I was telling a friend of mine before, a fellow named Maxime, who recently returned from Mexico City, I said, Max, this thing you brought back from Mexico with you seems so absolutely worthless. But it must actually be very valuable since so many people are willing to commit murder for it. And Max just... Oh.
It's good I blackjacked this man, Victor. I think I see you give signal. It's the right thing I do.
Exactly right, my dear Ollie, exactly. And now if you will be so kind as to carry him to the car. I have a feeling the leader would like to have a talk with this man who calls himself the saint. Wake up, sir. Wake up now. I said wake up. Herr Schmidt would like to talk to you.
Huh? What?
I said Herr Schmidt would like to have a talk with you.
Tell him I never see anyone without an appointment.
Yeah. Oh. You'll be respectful while in the presence of the leader.
The leader? He conducts an orchestra?
Yeah.
Ask a civil question and you get a slap in the face.
Yeah. Stand up, Saint. On your feet.
That's all right, Victor. Mr. Tembler can remain seated if he wants to.
You see, Victor, I can sit here if I want to. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you? You must be Schmidt.
That is correct. And now, Tembler, we will immediately get down to the business at hand. Where is it?
You mean you live here and you don't know?
I have no intention of wasting time listening to your misguided attempt at humor, Tembler. You know the object to which I refer. I must have it at once. You hear?
I hear, and two will get you five. There are people in Germany who can also hear.
Shut up!
Oh, for heaven's sake, Victor. You starting that face-slapping business again?
I told you before, you have to be more respectful when the leader speaks to you.
If you'll just untie my hands for a moment, I'll show both you and the leader exactly how much respect I have for both of you.
For the last time, Tempter, where is it?
What?
The glass, you swine. The little whiskey glass that other pig brought to you from Mexico.
Oh, that. Huh? You know, I had a feeling it was that whiskey glass you were after.
Well, where is it?
Try the 5 and 10.
Oh.
You know, Victor, someone's going to have to cure you of that habit. You're going to hurt that hand someday.
You will answer the leader's question. Where is the whiskey glass?
I give the correct answer, do I get to try for the giant jackpot?
If you give the correct answer, son, you get to die simply and quickly. And without any of your annoying little touches, my friend Annie is so good at.
Oh, you make it sound so attractive. The glass is in my apartment.
You lie! Ali and Victor searched all over your apartment.
The glass you're looking for is mixed in with all my other whiskey glasses. They all look alike.
Again, so... you lie. I brought it back here, all of your whiskey glasses.
Now, that's dishonest.
And the one we want is not amongst them. For the last time, Saint, what did you do with it?
Very well, Vic. I guess I know when I'm licked.
Ah, Now you're getting wise.
The glass is in a check locker at Grand Central Station.
A check locker? The key's in the locker. Where's the key?
Well, I'd be very happy to go home and get it for you.
That will not be necessary. Then tell us where the key's hidden.
It's hidden in the lamp on my desk.
In a lamp? Where in the lamp?
In the socket, where the bulb screws on. Just unscrew the bulb and put your finger inside the socket. You'll get it.
You'd better be telling the truth, Templer. I'll go at once, Herr Schmidt. You will come with me?
Yeah. And him?
He's well tied beside. Holly will return in a little while.
And before you go, Victor, suppose you answer me a question.
Uh-huh.
Tell me, who is your tailor?
My tailor?
Yes, I've been admiring that suit you have on. I think it's very considerate of your tailor to make it two sizes too large in case you have a friend visiting. Oh, my goodness.
The rest I say for Holly. He will do his best to entertain you while we are gone. He will do tricks for you.
Oh, how nice.
All sorts of tricks with hot irons and lighted matches and... And you will see. Let us go, Herr Führer.
After you, mein Herr. After you.
Soon. Now, soon. Iron will get hot. iron will get very hot.
Oh, I send my laundry out, Ollie.
It burned through skin. You like that, huh?
Oh, love it, but I'm a little disappointed in you, Ollie. Your friend Victor claimed that you had some fresh and original ideas. That hot iron stuff goes back to the Middle Ages, which is where I wouldn't mind going back to right now.
I know business. Best torture man in whole world.
You?
You know better one.
Sure. Who? Me.
You torture man?
The best.
Pah, I know business.
You mean to say you've never heard of Terrible Templar? The trouble with you is you just haven't been attending the annual torturers' convention.
Pah.
Would you mind turning your head the other way next time you say pa? That's the kind of torture I don't deserve.
I not believe you know torture treat.
Ollie, you just ignorant, that's all. Why, my butterfly twist is famous everywhere torture is practiced. Won first prize at the Iowa State Fair.
Pa, iron soon be hot now. Then I show you.
Hot irons, pa. High school stuff. Tell me, how many lighted matches can you put under a fingernail?
Three, under each nail.
Three? Only three?
You do better. How many you put?
14.
14 under one fingernail?
Yes, three.
I no believe. You big show off. Liar.
So I'm a liar, huh? I suppose now you want me to prove.
Yeah, you proof. You show me.
Untie my hands from behind this chair and I'll show you.
14 matches. Big show off. Liar. You untie from chair. Now. You show me.
With the greatest of pleasure. I'm sorry I broke the chair on your head, Ollie. I was getting sort of fond of that chair.
Hello, Simon.
Sweetheart, you've come back to me.
Yes, I've come back, but... too late, I'm afraid.
Oh, too late? Don't be silly, Claire. Grand Central Station's open all night, or should we do our kissing right here?
Oh, please, Simon, I'm not in the mood for banter. There's a man here in your apartment. He's in the other room.
That's Maxine. Surely you remember good old Maxine.
Oh, yes, I have much reason to remember Maxine. He's dead.
Dead?
He was shot.
Oh. Oh, that's too bad. He was a game little guy.
You killed him?
No, the unholy twosome was here looking for the glass. They did it.
The little man in the badly fitting coat and the giant Arab?
Yes.
I should have guessed. But the whiskey glass, Simon, what happened to the whiskey glass?
They have it. Victor and the man he calls the leader.
The leader? He's in New York?
Herr Schmidt is here, all right, but believe me, not to stay. Nor is Victor long for this world. Now, I'm going to ask some questions, and what's more, I'm going to get some answers.
Yes, Simon, I think you're entitled to some answers. You don't know why the glass is so important, do you?
Obviously, it carries somebody's fingerprints. I can't think of any other reason why a 10-cent whiskey glass could be important, but whose?
You have heard of Carl Bruder?
Carl Bruder? Bruder, yes. Hitler's heir apparent. The man selected most likely to succeed him, but he's dead.
It was never completely proven. He was thought to be dead.
Come on, Claire.
We have an organization among some of my countrymen which has sworn to track these beasts down. Well, we found Carl Bruder, our biggest prize in Mexico City. He'd had his face changed by surgery. He no longer was the fancy dresser he used to be. They used to call him the Nazi Bo Brummel. But still, adding together 100 minute facts and clues, we knew it was Bruder.
Well, why didn't you tell the government, Claire? They'd have taken over from there on.
Well, because everyone now takes it for granted that Bruder's dead. They can't conceive that he's alive.
Ah, so you got his fingerprints, the one thing that couldn't change, that would prove that Bruder was alive.
Yes. We were going to send the glass to Germany to have the prints compared with the set of prints known to be Bruder's that exist there. Yes. Then they would have believed us. Then they'd have to arrest him and make him answer for his crimes.
But Bruder got wise.
Oh, he knew that someone had gotten hold of the glass with his fingerprints. It was life or death to him to get it back. I was charged with bringing the glass here.
And Maxine?
Maxine. Poor Maxine. I was stupid. I didn't know.
To know what?
Ours is not a very closely knit organization, Simon. The members seldom meet each other and, well...
You mean you and poor Maxine were playing on the same team?
Yes. But we didn't know. Neither of us knew. We each thought...
It's too bad. When you heard that Max was coming to me to help him, you staged that scene in the station to make him think that I'd joined up on your varsity.
Huh? Yes, yes, I was stupid. Max would still be alive if I... What's the use? It isn't Maxine's life that bothers me so much now. It's losing the glass. That is the unforgivable part of it. Now Bruder will get away.
Well, you bet he doesn't. A long evening in Grand Central Station?
no one here, Simon. Not even a light burning.
No, and I was sure that...
Welcome back, Mr. Templar. How good of you to return.
Yes, Templar. How good of you to return. And we thought you didn't especially care for our hospitality.
Oh, was it just Poirot? You didn't care for things.
Charlie?
Torture man second class. What he doesn't know about our modern and improved methods would fill a morgue.
I see you have brought a guest, Templar. How nice to have you here, my dear.
Simon, I'm frightened.
Frightened? You mustn't be frightened just because I'm holding a gun, my dear. Dying from a bullet is rather pleasant compared with some other ways. Yes, Mr. Templar.
She isn't afraid of the gun, Victor. It's that suit you're wearing.
Stop it, Saint. I'm warning you.
Yeah, and I too am.
Well, the leader hurt his finger. It's going to look terrible when you salute yourself in the mirror now.
Enough!
But then, leader, it's your own fault. A great big leader like you should know better than to put his finger in a live light socket.
Enough! You will be quiet. You hear?
Here? You're rattling the ruins of the Reich's Chancery. And they're such lovely ruins.
I was warning you, Saint. You're on the deal with a poor, simple-minded Ali now.
I know. I had to use deception on poor, simple-minded Ali. But on you, I'll use force. That's what I use on poor, simple-minded Victor and the glorious leader. How does it feel to be looking down the wrong end of a Luger for once, boys? Only for you and others like you, it's the right end.
Very well. You have won, Templar. But you still must prove that I, Johann Schmidt, am Karl Bruder. And without the glass...
Yes, that's true. I do not have the glass you have.
Ah, how unfortunate for you.
But I have a roll of film.
Film?
Yes, I dusted the glass with powder and photographed the prints. So I've got the fingerprints. And more important, I've got the leader, right?
Very well, Templar. You've got me.
Yes, Johann Schmidt, I've got you, too. But it's Bruder who's the star attraction in my show.
But I am Bruder.
You're Bruder, huh? And you think Johann Schmidt, the German equivalent of John Smith, is the ideal alias for a wanted man?
It was an easy name. It was.
And the hotshot Führer lets little Victor precede him from a room. Oh, come, come. If you were the leader, loudmouth, the Dictator's Union would have you up on charges for that one.
But he is the leader. He's Bruder, I swear it.
Sure, and Claire and I are Hansel and Gretel. You're Karl Bruder, little man. That's why you wear such a badly fitting suit. Bruder was the Nazi Beau Brummel. So your disguise called for you to get as far away from elegance as you could, didn't it?
No, it is not true. Schmidt is Karl Bruder.
But you still think enough of good clothes to get furious every time someone makes a crack about your appearance, don't you? Look at you. Oh, that suit looks awful, Victor. It's got enough room in it for three ugly little tramps like you.
You dumb schwank.
See? There you go again, the furious Führer. You know, when you get mad, you look just like that other tramp. Adolf, that is. But why worry about your clothes at a time like this, Gruder? What do you care what you wear when they hang you?
You've been listening to another transcribed adventure of the Saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime. Now here's our star, Vincent Price.
Ladies and gentlemen, in tonight's cast, you heard Sammy Hill, Lou Merrill, Gil Stratton Jr., Charlie Lung, Ed Max, and Ted Von Elf. This is Vincent Price inviting you to join us again next week at this same time for another exciting adventure of the Saint. Good night.
I just want to take a moment to remind all of you that we do have a streaming radio station called the Radio Theater Channel, and it's up with 12 hours of new programming with one repeat, and that adds up to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we've got old-time radio for you all the time at www.oldtimeradiolisten.com, and you click the button there to listen, and it's just like turning back the clock. Some great radio shows, and you can follow the entire series, hear all the series, all of that. So go back and enjoy it. www.oldtimeradiolisten.com. And now we have a little bit of comedy and song in the form of the Bing Crosby Show from 1947. And his guests this time are Groucho Marx and Dorothy Shay.
When the blue of the night meets the gold of the day, someone waits for me.
This is Bob Murphy welcoming you to Philco Radio Time, produced and transcribed in Chicago with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra and Bing's guest, Dorothy Shea, the Park Avenue Hillbilly, and Groucho Marx, the raucous revenueer. Tonight we're at the United States Veterans Administration Hospital at Hines, Illinois. And now here he is, Bing Crosby himself.
Hi, fellas. First off, I want to thank Bob Murphy of the Breakfast Club for pinch-hitting for Ken Carpenter tonight. How do you like doing a dinner show, Bob?
Well, just fine, Bing. But, look, why didn't you bring Ken Carpenter from Hollywood with you?
Well, you see, Bob, Ken comes from Peoria. I was afraid if I brought him back to Illinois, the sheriff from Peoria might come up and claim him.
Well, look, why, Bing? Well, has Ken done something wrong?
Well, he's been announcing on the radio. You get 10 years down there for that.
I think I better change the subject quick here, boy. Well, how about asking you something about your trip east, Bing? Anything eventful happened?
Oh, yes. At Albuquerque, a couple of Indians named Sid Silvers and Fred Finkelhoff boarded the train, and they nailed me.
You sure bought a nice blanket from them, too, Bing. I knew it was very good.
They didn't sell me this blanket, Bob. They had a brand new song. It's about a ball player who went to Albuquerque. Think the lads here might like it. Will you pitch me a downbeat, John Scott? Something underhanded, huh?
His name was Lefty, a southpaw from Brooklyn, training in the Golden West. She was the belle of Albuquerque. Pull up a chair if you care to hear the rest. He was with the Dodgers out in Albuquerque when he saw Maria smile and nod her head. 'Cause his time was getting short, he started talking turkey, but she couldn't comprehend a word he said. With her lingo, he was having lots of trouble, so he made a pass like any southpaw would. And so right away, their two hearts hit a double. It was love, a language they both understood. Later on, he bought a Spanish dictionary, and he turned to page, I love you. And instead of sighing, how you hit me, Mary, he kissed her and said, you're almost dead. Now Maria sits and waits in Albuquerque. She's still catching flies, although they're far apart. He's a cinch to pitch next year for Albuquerque, 'cause he left her with a promise in his heart. All his Brooklyn fans are wailing, 'cause his pitching has been failing, and the bottles they are flailing, and the Dodgers they are trailing. He's pathetic now to watch her, got so Spanish and so hotcha, calls each lady fan muchacha, and the umpires cucaracha. And their fine Brooklyn fellow changed his name to Manuelo. They cry, we can kiss the flag goodbye. Though his pitching's getting wild and oh so jerky, Manuelo doesn't rave and throw his glove. He knows he'll be in form in Albuquerque, 'cause Maria will be there to catch his glove.
Bing, say, the way you sang that song, it's just as terrific as your blanket.
Well, thanks, Robert, but you sound ominously like Ken Carpenter, knocking yourself out over a tune here the minute it's commercial time.
Well, I know, Bing, but, you know, I got to kind of wind up tonight. It's a new pitch here on your show.
Never fear, Ace. Maybe you can get our radio commercials out of a rut, huh?
Well, look, Bing, the trouble is I only talk about Philco refrigerators on the Breakfast Club.
Well, why don't we sell the 1201 with a freezer locker tonight?
Slide a record in, take out a roast of beef.
Well, now you're talking. And think how much handier the portable would be with this summer with the easy-out ice trays built in, you know.
Well, now, look, Bing,
hot
if
and
you...
cold folding doors and a built-in tea wagon. We'd have everything here.
Look, Bing, if you think Philco would really go
How could they help it? The research department has been gold-bricking on us, Bob. Let's feed them some new ideas.
Well, probably you listeners have seen plenty of table-model radio phonographs, right?
Right. one listener heard from.
Okay, but you haven't heard anything till you take a listen to Philco's new table model with the automatic record changer. It's loaded with power, terrific on performance, and Philco's new changer handles up to 12 records, slick and quick. Just go hear it. That's all we ask you. Oh, and P.S., when you buy your new refrigerator, ask for the refrigerator with all the features, hmm? That's Philco, too.
That's the one for me, boy. I recorded this song some years ago, but apparently even that didn't stop it from being revived again this year. Looks like you just can't kill a good song. Is it a sin? Is it a crime? Loving you, dear, as I do. If it's a crime, then I'm guilty. Guilty of loving you. Maybe I'm wrong, dreaming of you. Dreaming the lonely night through. If it's a crime, then I'm guilty. Guilty of dreaming of you. What can I do? What can I say? After I've taken the blame. You say you're through. You'll go your way, but I'll always feel just the same. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, loving you, dear, like I do. If it's a crime, then I'm guilty. Guilty of loving you. What can I say? What can I do? After I've taken the blame. You say you're through. You'll go your way. But I'll always feel just the same. Maybe I'm right. Maybe I'm wrong. Loving you, dear, like I do. If it's a crime, then I'm guilty. Guilty of loving you.
That was Guilty, sung by Bing Crosby. I think he should demand a new trial, don't you, fellas?
I could swear I just heard Groucho Marx's voice.
Most people do when they hear it.
Take a bow, Groucho.
No instructions, please. I'm an old ham at this game.
Bow. Groucho, I must say you built yourself up quite an interest there. Okay, get him out of it. You certainly know how to milk an audience.
I should know how to milk. When I was a baby, my nurse was Elsie, the cow.
A cow for a nursemaid? Did your folks want you to be a farmer?
Yeah, some parents want their children to be musicians, so they get them a piano. But me, I had a cow to practice on. I was very clever, though, Bing. I learned to milk Elsie before I could talk.
Well, you must have had a lot of pull.
Huh? Well, I certainly had my hands full.
You had plenty of pull, though.
Yes, I was left holding the bag all the time. But
I'd be nicely edited.
Yes, I certainly will. There'd be nothing here at all. But I learned a lot from that cow, Bing.
What?
Not cow, Bing. Is that your name? Cow? You know, I can still brush away flies with my tail. And that's not easy.
Well, it'd be a cinch if you had a tail. Anyhow, Groucho, before we go completely daffy here, allow me to extend a warm, firm hand of welcome to Philco Radio Time.
Please do, but make sure that warm, firm hand contains a large, firm check.
You want a firm check?
Yes, the Philco firm, if you don't mind.
On a
Now, Groucho, let's not be mercenary.
I'm not being mercenary, Crosby. It's just that I need money, if you'll pardon the expression.
Don't tell me you're broke.
Of course I won't tell you. I'm no blabbermouth. A few years ago, I had enough money to choke a horse.
What happened?
I made a mistake. I bet on the horse instead of choking him.
Well, since you took a bath at the Downs, Groucho, I'll scratch out a check for you.
Look, I'll do my own scratching. Just use a pen, huh? Here, use my pen. It's the old-fashioned kind. It uses ink.
Is it right underwater?
Certainly.
Will it write under $100?
I hope not. Of course it did. It also writes under Touran Bay. That's in case you want to talk taking.
Oh, look here. Well, I may as well fill out the check. What's your real name, Groucho?
My real name is Dame May Whitty, but you can't notice it until I start walking.
Okay, Grouch, here's your loot. By the way, what are you doing in Chicago anyhow? What's happening?
Well, I came here to settle my uncle's affairs. He left me his entire collection of over 400 clocks.
And you're winding up the estate.
That was my line at rehearsal.
It looks like you're going to blow it, so I grabbed it.
The moral is, save your money and you'll never have to do guest shots.
You never miss
that
one.
That was my line at rehearsal.
No.
I never miss anything. I always bury myself in my work, and that's pretty dangerous when you work in a glue factory. Well, I said it, and I'm stuck with it.
I didn't know you were in the glue business, old boy.
I just gave it up. That joke made me quit.
What's your record? What's your test?
Well,
here?
I'm in the sightseeing business here. Yes, and believe me, you're a sight I'd like to show my customers, Bing. You're a sight even if I don't show you to my customers.
Whatever made you go in the sightseeing business?
I'll do anything to make a buck.
Anything?
Well, not anything. I've never been on Bob Hope's program.
Let us all pray you never sink so low.
Well, of course not. A man has to have... You have to have some standards. I'll never sink that low, Bing. If it doesn't stop raining around here, I'm going to sink lower than that. Jolson in his April shower. But I love Chicago. As a matter of fact, my grandfather's grandfather came here many years ago with a wagon load of coleslaw.
Why coleslaw?
Well, it took a lot of cabbage to live in Chicago those days. That's the corned beef crowd applauding us.
You know, grandfather was a clever man. He certainly had a good head on his shoulders.
That wasn't his head. It was a girl he met in Indianapolis. Anyhow, Bing, right after the program, I'm going to take you on a guided tour throughout the city in my glass-bottom bus. I'll show you Chicago from every angle.
You really know this town?
Do I know this town? Yeah. Well, I can remember way back when they had a Republican mayor.
Really? You do go back.
Yes, I do. I may, as soon as this is over. Now, Crosby, I have two tours. There's the $3 tour and the $5 tour.
What's the difference between the $3 tour and the $5 tour?
I'll thank you to keep a civil tongue in your head. When I want any conversation from you, I'll put in a requisition for it. Through channels.
Well, I'd still like...
The English channel, I think.
I'd still like to know the difference between the $3 tour and the $5 tour.
Well, on the $5 tour, we close the windows and we pass the stockyards.
For $2 extra, you should burn incense.
Make it $3 extra, and I'll burn the bus. You'll love this trip, though, Bing.
Clever, huh? We hit all the points of interest?
Oh, first I take you to the top of the Wrigley Building.
Oh, how gay.
I even show you the juicy fruit room. From there, I point out such interesting shots as the Golden Gate Bridge.
That's in San Francisco. You can't see the Golden Gate Bridge from the Wrigley Building.
I didn't say you could see it. I just said I'd point it out. As a matter of fact, you can hardly see Chicago from the Wrigley Building. After that, I show you Niagara Falls.
Niagara Falls is in Buffalo.
Niagara Falls is in what Buffalo?
Buffalo, New York.
Oh, well, that's different. I thought you were trying to tell me that some buffalo had swallowed Niagara Falls. Well, let's not argue about the falls. Come up to my room and take a shower. It's only water anyhow.
Huh? Got you.
Just throw your hair on the bed.
Okay. This trip is a fraud. It's a swindle. A sightseeing tour of Chicago should include the Field Museum, the Shedd Aquarium, Soldier's Field, the Planetarium, Lincoln Park.
All right, wise guy. Here's $5. You show me around town, huh?
You even left out the Art Institute.
Well, if it's pictures you want, I'll sing you a song about a girl who has plenty of pictures.
I should love to hear about that.
I usually have a big vocal group to assist me with this number, but I left them at the Pittsburgh ballpark selling Frankfurters. Yes, and...
Huh? That's probably the hottest thing they'll have at that park, huh?
Not too loud. They're going to finish.
Bing, would you mind singing me a few la-la-las to help me out?
I shall la-la-la until unconscious. Just pitch till you win, boy.
You go if I am when ready, Greg.
Oh, yeah. Yeah?
Oh, Lydia, say, have you met Lydia? Lydia, the tattooed lady. She has eyes that men adore so, and...
We'll start this over. You went on the Michael.
I was on the mic?
No, you went off Michael.
Now
oh.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, Lydia, say, have you met Lydia? Lydia, the tattooed lady. She has eyes that men adore so. And a torso, even more so. Lydia, oh Lydia, that encyclopedia. Oh Lydia, the queen of them all. On her back is the Battle of Waterloo. Beside it, the wreck of the Hesperus too. And proudly above waves the red, white, and blue. You can learn a lot from Lydia. La la la, la la la, la la la, la la la. She can give you a view of the world in tattoo if you'll step up and tell her where. For a dime you can see Kankakee or Paddy or Washington crossing the Delaware.
La la la, la la la, la la la, la la la.
Oh, Lydia, poor Lydia, say, have you met Lydia? Lydia, the tattooed lady. When her muscles start relaxing, up the hill comes Andrew Jackson. Lydia, oh, Lydia, that encyclopedia. Oh, Lydia, the champ of them all. For to bid she will do a mazurka in jazz with a view of Niagara that nobody has. And on a clear day you can see Alcatraz. You can learn a lot from Lydia.
La la la, la la la, la la la, la la la.
Come along and see Buffalo Bill with his lasso. Just a little classic by Mendel Picasso. Here is Captain Spaulding exploring the Amazon. Here's Godiva, but with her pajamas on.
La 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 la, la 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 la.
Oh Lydia, oh Lydia, oh have you met Lydia? Lydia, the tattooed lady. When she stands, the world grows littler. When she sits on Hitler. Lydia, oh Lydia, that encyclopedia. Oh Lydia, the queen of them all. She once swept an admiral clear off his feet. The ships on her hips made his heart skip a beat. And now the old boy's in command of the fleet. For he went and married Lydia. I said Lydia.
He said Lydia.
I said Lydia.
We said Lydia. La la.
That was jolly, Groucho. Really very, very fine.
Never mind me. Congratulations on your part. I wouldn't be surprised if that would bring on a big wave of la-la-la-la-ling.
Nice little part I had, la-la-la.
Yes.
A leopard gets better spots than that.
Now, if you'll stand by, Groucho, I should like to present a very talented young lady.
This girl is a dish. She doesn't have to have talents.
You're so right. Many of you in our radio audience have enjoyed this gal's records on Columbia and Columbia album or had the privilege of seeing her at the St. Regis in New York, the Empire Room in the Palmer House, or currently at the Mark Hopkins in San Francisco.
The St. Regis, the Palmer House, and Mark Hopkins? What is this girl, a traveling bellboy?
Oh, no. Ladies and gentlemen, presenting the Park Avenue Hillbilly, Miss Dorothy Shea.
Hi, thanks, Bing.
Well, it's certainly nice to see you, Dorothy.
Gee, Bing, ever since I've been in show business, I've wanted to be on your program. Now that I'm on it, I'm so scared I can hardly hold still.
Well, just grab a hold of me, Dorothy. We'll do a little rumba. No use wasting all that motion.
Listen, Crosby, you going to introduce me to this girl, or do I have to go outside and run over myself with my bus?
Pardon me, Groucho, pardon me. Dorothy Shea, may I present Groucho Marx?
I'm mighty thrilled to meet you, Mr. Marx.
Well, I should think you would be.
Listen, Crosby, I thought you said this girl was a hillbilly. She's got shoes on.
How do you know? How do you know you haven't looked at her feet yet?
Mr. Marks is right. I have got shoes on. And boy, are my feet killing me.
Miss Shea, take my shoes. I'm sure you'll be much more comfortable in these. I've been walking around in them for years. And when I say walking around in them, I can really walk around in them.
Have you got a tour through them?
Yes, Oxford is on my tour of England. Take the shoes, Dorothy, Oxford. Took an awful lacing on that joke, huh?
Oh, I couldn't accept your shoes, Mr. Marks, but you're sweet.
I seem to be making progress. There will be a slight pause while I get rid of Crosby. Dorothy, I'm running a special moonlight tour for two. Shall we go?
Gee, I couldn't think of going without my mother.
I'm glad you mentioned her. We need someone to drive the bus.
What about me?
You can take tickets. Say, Dorothy, that's a lovely gown you've almost got on there, huh?
Thank you.
Must be made of sense then. At least it takes my breath away. Hope may be pretty sore if he hears we did a sense in joke.
No, he just got control of the yo-yo jokes and the bubble gum.
Shucks, Mr. Marks, I can't tell whether you're serious or just full of corn pone.
Well, shucks, Dorothy, I must be serious. I never ate any corn pone in my life. And by the way, aren't we a little too far north for all this southern fry dialogue?
Well, you see, Groucho, Dorothy hails from Florida.
You mean she came by storm? That's ridiculous, hail from Florida, indeed.
Why, I've seen hailstones as big as oranges in Florida.
If Florida's so smart, why doesn't it have oranges as big as oranges? Can you squeeze a hailstone and get orange juice?
Dorothy, while Groucho figures this thing out, how about a song, huh?
Okay, Bing. Do you think the boys would like feuding, fighting, and fussing?
Oh, I think it ought to have the place in sections. Just stand right in.
Beyond the busy highway, beyond the city strife, we highly treasure and take great pleasure in our plain away home life. Feuding, a fussin' and a fightin', sometimes it gets to be exciting. Don't like them ornery neighbors down by the creek. We'll be plumb out of neighbors next week. Why'd they have to shoot for Grandma? She lies neath the clover. Someone caught her bending over, picking up a daisy few, a fussin' and a fightin'. This is a wrong that needs a rightin'. Let's get that funeral service over, so then we'll go feud and fighting again. Feuding, a fighting, and a fussing. That's all that's going on with us. And we are such neighborly people, peaceful and sweet, all except when we happen to meet. Daughter, baby, daughter. Poisoned all the neighbors' chicken. Daughter shouldn't order. Least though she could run like the dickens, they hit her with a shovel. Few a fighting and a fussing. No use of standing here a cussing. Polish the shooting iron, mo I'm getting again to go feuding. A fussin', a feudin', and a fussin' again.
Oh, that was great, Dorothy. Really, really sharp. But I've heard you sing that song many times before, and tonight it seemed a little short. Did you leave out some of it?
Well, yes, I did. You see, Bing.
I thought so.
Well, this is my first appearance on your show, and I didn't want to take up too much time.
Take all the time you want, Dorothy. After all, we don't want your pappy down here with a squirrel rifle.
I should say not. Come on, Dorothy, finish up your tune.
Well, I'm kind of bashful, so I thought maybe you and Mr. Marks might help me out.
Well, okay, Groucho. You want to help a lady in distress?
Sure will.
A fighting, a feuding,
and a fussing. That's all that's going on with us. We are such neighborly people, peaceful and sweet.
All except when we happen to meet. Daughter, baby daughter, poisoned all the neighbors' chickens. Daughter, sure not up. At least till she could run like the dickens.
They hit her with a shovel.
Oh, cute and a crying
and a fussin'.
Ain't no use standing here a cussin'. Let's give our daughter a pistol now that she's born.
And go feuding and fighting some more.
A fussing, a fighting, and a feuding. Why did that sheriff keep intruding?
He was a curious critter, you see, was swell.
It's a shame he was pushed down the well.
The doggone stuff don't taste like it oughta. Look here, say slicker. That's why we all drink corn liquor.
It's a better with your shoes off.
Feuding, a fussing, and a fighting.
Oh, Dorothy,
this ain't no corner you can brighten.
Polish the shoe nines more, we're getting to you.
Folks out of the hills ain't been to town for years. Never catch us, we got a head start on them.
I don't know about the start, but we sure didn't have a finish.
We sure did.
Well, Bing and Dorothy and Groucho, if you'll allow me to wave the olive branch amid all this talk of feuding and fighting, why don't we get together here on something everybody agrees on? Like Philco radios, for instance. Why kid around about it? It's in the record that year after year, ever since 1930, you radio listeners have made Philco the undisputed leader of the radio industry because you agreed that a Philco radio gave you the finest quality and the greatest value for your radio dollar. And now that goes double for the 1947 Philcos. Back of every new Philco are not only the resources of the world's largest radio manufacturer, but all the wartime research from the Philco laboratories as well. You'll find that's equally true of Philco radio phonographs and table models, of the sensational new Philco Portable, as well as brand new inventions like the Philco 1201. Any Philco you buy is brand new all the way through. So look at the leader first. Look at a Philco, famous for quality the world over.
It's all right. Miss Peggy Lee turned this tune for us on the show some weeks ago. Show you how game I am, I'm going to try and follow her. How game can you be?
I'll close my eyes to everyone but you. And when I do, I'll see you standing there. I'll lock my heart to any other caress. I'll never say yes to a new love affair. I'll close my eyes to everything that's gay. If you're not there, to share each lovely day. And through the years, those moments when we're apart, I'll close my eyes and see you with my heart. I'll close my eyes and see you with my heart.
Thanks, boys. Well, that's about it for now. Fellas, I want to tell you it's been a real treat to get out here to VA at Hines Hospital.
That goes for me, too, Bing.
I'm glad that I could get out here, too, boys.
You going to hang around Chicago for a few days, Grouch?
No, I think I'm going to leave. Chicago's too windy for me and vice versa.
Man, that old wind was blowing last night, wasn't it?
It sure was. I went to sleep in the Ambassador Hotel last night, and I woke up this morning in the Shaman House.
How was the floor show?
Well, you should... I don't know. I was on the ceiling.
You shouldn't have opened your window, Grouch.
If I go to bed in this town again, I wouldn't even sleep with my mouth open. I might find my bridge bike at the Edgewater Beach.
Who are your guests next week, Bing?
Oh, next week we got Irving Berlin and Al Jolson. They're going to huddle around the mic with me.
Well, I better leave my teeth here then, huh?
Gosh, Jolson and Berlin. Yeah. I must make a note of that.
Don't bother. Just listen to Walter Winchell Sunday. He'll probably tell the world.
Walter's our press agent. Well, good night, Groucho.
Good night, Bing.
Night. So long, Dorothy.
So long, Bing. So long, Groucho.
So long, Dorothy. I'll see you at the bus.
Will you be in it?
In it. Don't be silly. I'll be under it.
Good night, folks.
Good night, huh?
This program was produced and transcribed in Chicago by Bill Morrow and Murdo McKenzie. Tune in to Philco Radio Time next week and hear John Scott Trotter, his chorus and orchestra, and Bing's guests, Irving Berlin and Al Jolson. Groucho Marx will soon be seen in the motion picture Copacabana. Mr. Marx appears through the courtesy of his agent, who by an odd coincidence happens to be his brother, Gummo Marx.
Who by an odd coincidence has already spent his commission.
And remember, only Philco makes the 1201. It's the newest invention from Philco, the leader.
Well, I hope you liked our program this time, and that's all the time we have for this week, so we'll be back next time with some more great old-time radio. Join us then. This is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.